Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Helena Vigil was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii. She graduated from Mauna Loa High School and earned her bachelor's degree in preschool family life services from Northern Michigan University. While there, part of her extracurricular activities included being on radio. So this is not new to her. She's been on radio before. Imagine three Hawaiians on radio in Northern Michigan. Well, we're not only here to talk about radio, but to talk about life. She's currently a stay-at-home mom with one girl, 4 years old, and twin boys. Both are two. She grew up both Catholic and Christian. But during her high school and her college years, she lost that relationship with God and did things, as she would say, her way. In 2002, she came back from college and was lost. So she started going back to church with her cousin at New Hope, Oahu. Let me just pause for a moment. Because when we're talking about a person's life, as you listen, it somehow will, and I believe is, going to relate with your life. And the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that whatever life circumstance you're going through right now, as a parent, as a business owner, as an employee, as someone who might be aging or ailing in life, that the Lord loves you and He knows you. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you can. Through Jesus Christ, who loved you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And the living Christ calls you to Himself today. And my friend, if you are already walking with the Lord, we are all at different points in our experiences with Christ. We hope that today you will be encouraged and inspired by what our guests have to share. See, Helena is here, but she's also sitting next to her husband, John Vigil. And they met here in Hawaii. In fact, they're here, and John is serving in the military. They're a military family. And after they got married, they hit a rocky point, which we're going to camp there to talk about that. You talk about some jagged rocks. They experienced some jagged rocks in their marriage. So, as we typically do, let's get into it. John, Helena, so you grew up in Hawaii. Where did you grow up, John?
I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada, the ninth island, I guess.
Yeah, you touched the nerve there when you said Las Vegas, Nevada, yeah. Because there are people, many people, even people listening. Even people listening that go to church, they know that's the ninth island.
Yeah.
What was it like for you growing up in Las Vegas?
It was very normal. I know there's a media outlook of what Vegas should look like and how it is, a nightlife and everything like that. But, I had a real normal life. I went to school every day. My mom was a school teacher. My dad, he did work in the casino business for 45 years, but it was really normal. I grew up in a house, not a hotel. So I had a normal childhood out there in Vegas.
What part of Vegas?
I grew up in the east side of Vegas. That's McLeod and Flamingo. That's about like 10 minutes away from the Las Vegas Strip. So,
well, I'm sure as you describe that, someone is going to say, oh, yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Well, you met.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go there, who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years, John?
It's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly who influenced me. I had a lot of mentors and everything like that, but obviously, you know, my mother's, you know, one of them. My mother's a, you know, she's a tough old Irish broad. You know, she, you know, she was a high school teacher for 35 years, and, you know, she's seen a lot, you know, she's been through a lot and everything like that. So she taught me a lot of, you know, how to never quit, keep working, work hard and everything like that. So I would say my mother was really influential on me. And, my dad, he was influential. He was more like a typical 1950s kind of dad. You know, he came home, he did his job, he came home from work and everything like that. But he kind of taught me, you know, to be a little bit more on the tough side. So he was also influential.
Now, you always wanted to serve in the military, right?
Yes, sir.
Why is that? How did that come about?
You know, I couldn't really honestly tell you. You know, my dad, he was in the Air Force for about 4 years in the 60s, and he got out, and my uncle was in Vietnam, and both my grandfathers were in World War II. And I wouldn't say it's like a military tradition, because they only did, you know, 4 or 5 years, and they all got out and everything. But for myself, I wanted to, you know, make it a career. I knew if I was going to go in it, I was going to go in it all the way. And I've always was a great admirers of people like General Curtis LeMay, Ollie Burke, Admiral Ollie Burke. I was always great admirers of them because they, you know, they sacrificed so much to protect and defend this nation of ours. So I just knew at an early age, I would say maybe 10, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
So you joined the Navy right after 9/11.
Yes.
It might seem like an obvious thing for me to ask, but was there a connection between what happened and your joining?
Absolutely, definitely. I was in in that limbo phase before 9/11. I was like, you know, I just graduated high school. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do yet. You know, like I said, I wanted to be in the military, but I didn't know if I was going to go to college and, you know, maybe do 4 years of an ROTC program or something like that. So I was in a limbo stage. But when September 11th came around, I knew it was the answer. It was like, this is your moment. You need to go. And the person that told me I needed to go was actually my dad. My dad, you know, he's kind of soft-spoken sometimes, but, you know, I came home that afternoon. I forgot exactly what I was doing that day, but I came home that afternoon, and my dad just looked at me, and he said, you know what you need to do. And that was it. So the next day, I went down to my Navy recruiting office and did the appropriate testing progress, you know, passed all the tests and did the processing system, and next thing I knew, I was in Great Lakes, Illinois for boot camp.
Why did you choose the Navy?
It's not like I have a great love for the sea, you know, but maybe because both my grandfathers, they were both in the Navy, you know, and it was World War II for them. Pearl Harbor was the reason why they went in. So obviously, you know, why not choose the Navy? And my mother was happy that I chose the Navy. She said I made the right choice. She always says I was smart enough to do that. So
she affirmed your decision.
yeah. So I got a parental approval.
Helena, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Probably my mom and my dad. My dad's Catholic, and my mom is Christian. And so for years, they struggled within their marriage, and then I saw how God pretty much transformed my dad. And it's through my mom's praying. And she would pray all the time with us for my dad, every day, for years and years and years. And then my dad, I would say about the age of 10 or 12, he's changed into a different person. And every year, his heart has been softened. So just watching my parents' marriage and how they put God first in their marriage and how he can change somebody like my dad, who was, he worked for the HPD for over 30 years, and he was the first sergeant in the Army. So he was hard like a rock. And now I can just go, Daddy, can I have this?
Okay.
So, you know, God can change hearts.
Well, we need to remember that God can change hearts, and that God can change any heart, however hard and however lost, however far he can reach people. He can reach people. He's reached us. He reached you. He reached me. When it comes to life's experiences, the relationship with Christ matters. How did you become a Christian, Helena?
I grew up in the church. I mean, it was just one of those things like, okay, who wants to, one day, I think I was like 8 or 9 years old. Do you want to get baptized? Sure. And I went and got baptized in my Christian church. So it was just something that was like, you know, everyday thing, like going to the grocery store. We just go to church. And so it was just part of where my parents took us all the time was with the church. We hung out with their friends from church all the time. So it was just there. So I grew up with it. There was no turning from it. It was there.
Was there a time when you, typically when someone grows up in a church, and it's not conclusive, but I know it happens, you can grow up in a church and know what to say, know how to act, you know the church mm-hmm. culture. But then the question comes about later in life, maybe in the teenage years or early adulthood, where do I really know the Lord? Do I have a personal relationship with Him? Mm-hmm. I'm just, maybe so. I want you to speak to that, or speak about that when we come back, because mm-hmm. I know it's going to somehow relate to your relationship with John and some of the things that you went through. I mean, we talk about rocky point in life, rocky point in marriage. Someone today has experienced or is going through right now a rocky point in their marriage. Maybe a rocky point in a relationship. So when we come back, let's go there. But again, I want to go back to your faith. When did it become, when did Helena say, I want to live for the Lord? And like I said, maybe it was from early on. And maybe there were changes. And John, I love the way you speak, man. You are clear. You are articulate. And I know you must have a sense of humor, too.
We'll find out.
He's wearing
a
San Diego Chargers jersey. San Diego had a great week this past weekend. Anyway, when we come back, more from John and Helena Vito. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. You're listening
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, I'm glad they're still in studio with us. For a moment there, they almost left studio because he's wearing a San Diego Chargers t-shirt, and I disclosed that I am a Oakland Raiders fan, and John Vigil took it quite seriously. I'm glad that they're still with us. And hey, look, we're sports fans, yes, but we're also here to talk heart to heart about the things that the Lord has done in their life and how gracious He's been to them. And when you hear their story, you'll appreciate and you'll relate with why. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Again, John and Helena Vigil are in studio with us. To find out more about this program, perhaps you're tuning in right now, get this program in its entirety. You can do that at thegoodlifehawaii.com. This and other resources are available for you. Helena, you grew up in church. Did you go through a point where, as you grew, you needed to come to a place where you said, well, this is my faith. I need to respond to Christ personally. Did you go through that?
Well, when I came back from college, after, you know, I would say about almost six or eight years of kind of trying to do things my way, I came back and my cousin was like, let's go to church. I'm like, fine, we'll go to church. I just went back to church and it was like, it just felt like home again. And it just, at that point, It took, you know, about a year for me to really come to that point, but I kept going to church, but God was just speaking to me. He was like, okay, I need to come back in your life. I'm like, fine, come back, you know? And so since 2002, when I came back from college, it's really, you know, my relationship with God is totally different now than it was, you know, 5 years ago. But it was just, when I came back from college, I just needed, for some reason, I felt lost, and when I went back to church, I was like, okay, this feels like home. This makes sense. You know, I was going to college. I mean, I was teaching out here and dating. That was interesting. But, you know, I just needed God to center me and give me hope that there are nice guys in the world. And there is, you know, there's hope. And I'm not going to be stuck in wherever I was stuck in for those past 8 years of...
What church did you grow up at?
Palisades Community Church, I think you want to say. At Palisades. And then my dad, we went to St. Elizabeth with him. So, like, on Sundays, we go to St. Elizabeth. Then on Wednesdays, we go to youth group at Palisades, where my mom took us. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a mixture of both. And my parents pretty much gave us a choice of where we wanted to go. My dad never pressured us to get confirmed or anything like that. So when it came, my mom just cared as long as we had a relationship with God. That's all that mattered to her.
How about you, John? How did you become a Christian?
growing up in Vegas and everything, my mom, I went to a parochial school. She sent me to St. Vitus Catholic School. It was intermediate. And so every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, you know, we're there at church Sunday morning. I was an altar server. I served the church and everything like that. I didn't go to a Catholic high school. After I graduated from St. Vitus, I went to a public high school in Vegas, but, I still went to church and, I did get confirmed. So, I guess that's how my, you know, I was, you know, influenced. My mother sent me to Catholic school every Sunday. We're going to church. It doesn't matter. Church on Sunday, you know, during Lent season, no meat on Friday. Ash Wednesday, you know, we were really big about that. Well, at least my mom was. She was really big about it. So that's how it came about.
How did you meet?
We met through a mutual friend. He asked if one of his friends could come bowling. I said, fine. So John came along. my first thought was, man, this guy wears a lot of cologne. But we went bowling.
I didn't wear
he
that
threw
much cologne.
A lot of gutter balls. He threw a lot of gutter balls. And I didn't think anything of it because I wasn't interested. I was finding a place. I was like, okay, God, work on me. Make me the wife. Make me the perfect woman for you. Then I can be a good wife for somebody else. Well,
were you dating others at the time? Because you mentioned you were teaching.
I was teaching. I had many guy friends, but nobody I really was like, wow, he's actually somebody I could marry. But and then I met John, and I thought nothing of it after that night. And his friend the next day was like, hey, my friend wants to take you out. I'm like, sure, I'll go out for a free dinner and a movie, thinking nothing of it. And then we went out to dinner and a movie, and I came home, and it's like, whoa, this guy's kind of special.
What was special about him? Besides the cologne.
I wore Brute that night, the old man cologne.
Brute by Fabergé.
I know, it was good. I call it Joe Namath.
Well, on our first date, he broke his glasses. He almost ran somebody over, and he almost got into a car accident. So when I looked all past all of that, we talked about our religious background, and he's like, "I'm Catholic and I go to church every Sunday." I'm like, "You love God? What? What?" I was just excited to find a guy who loved God, and I said, "Do you read the Bible?" He's like, "Yeah, from time to time." I was like, "Okay," and I wasn't the perfect Christian. I didn't read my Bible daily, so I was like, "Okay, you know what? He loves God. At least we have a starting point." And I was praying to God to find me a guy who loves God and has a relationship with God, and came my husband.
What interested you about her?
Well, first off, you know, like when I asked my friend, I was just interested in going on a date. All right, you know, I just came back from deployment, and I didn't know anybody. So, like she said, our mutual friend that was stationed on the same ship with me introduced me and everything. What made me interested into Helena was that she actually laughed at my corny jokes. You know, like one of them's like, "Well, why did the Siamese twins go to London?" And the punchline is, "Well, the other one wanted the drive." No reaction from you. See, that's how corny. But she's chuckling over here. So that's why, you know, that interests me in the first place. She liked my corny jokes.
And it wasn't just the courtesy laugh.
She genuinely loves that joke. Right now, see, she's smiling right now. And I was so comfortable. I was really comfortable around her. I didn't have to pretend I was, you know. I remember a couple times coming home on leave in the Navy. I would go out and everything, and I would kind of lie about what I did in the Navy. I was like, "Yeah, I'm a Navy SEAL," and which is not true or anything. And like, "Yeah, you know, I did all this stuff." With her, I didn't have to do that. I told her exactly what I did. Like, "Hey, I paint the ship." You know,
I count pencils.
That was a bad joke, but
she's laughing.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't have to feel, you know, I didn't have to arrange a story for her, you know, because she was comfortable with it. So that was one of the major factors for me.
She was settled.
Yeah.
You could be yourself. Now, you got married. What happened in this rocky point that we've alluded to earlier? Take us back to that moment.
Well, we got married in 2006, and I got deployed, you know, 12 days after that and everything, and I did 6 months down in South America on a counter-narcotics deployment. We came back, and Helena was involved in a small group in San Diego, and I joined the small group, and then we started building more and more relationships in San Diego, and we went to church, and then we started helping out one of our friends launching one of his churches in Santee, and we were just getting into that real good spot, and we just had our daughter, and we were getting in this spot where, like, all right, we're building a relationship with God. You know, God's got our side. You know, it's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be great. Well, unfortunately, you know, as a lot of people will know if they're in the service, you know, wherever the military tells you to go, you go. So I came home one day and I had some real terrible news for her that, we had orders to go to Norfolk, Virginia. which was shouldn't have been the case because the orders should have stayed in San Diego. But they were building the ship, and they switched home ports on us. So I had to go out to Norfolk, Virginia, and that's when I really started feeling a lot of pressure. I was starting to feel inadequate for Helena. I felt like I let her down because of this. Obviously it wasn't my fault that, you know, the military told me where to go. But in the back of my head, it felt like I could have done something different. So when that happened, I began to lie. I did a lot of lying. I was lying to Helena mostly about, you're gonna come out in this time, and you're gonna move out to Norfolk, bring Malia, that's our daughter. No problem, everything's set up. When nothing was set up, there was nothing at all. Because I would go and I would do what I needed to do to get things rolling, and I would just hit another brick wall. And if anybody knows, when you're trying to PCS out of a permanent change of station, when you're trying to move out from one area to another location, to get stuff going and get paperwork rolling and everything like that, it is hard. I'm not saying it's not. It is hard, but you just have to keep plugging away at it. Well, the problem was is that I felt like I just ended it. I was just like, that's it, I'm done. I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to do anything anymore. I just wanted to, you know, crawl up in a corner and just hide. So I would do the bare minimum, but when I hit one brick wall, I'd just be like, oh, all right, I throw my arms up, I'm done. I can't do anything else.
So here is John Vigil hitting the wall. John, you're not the only one who... Well, that wall is a unique wall. And it's unique to you. But you know what? There are relatable connections because people hit walls all the time. Wanting to curl up, hide under something and take shelter somewhere and detach, disengage. It is something that men go through. I should say it this way. We go through that. And someone listening today goes through that or is going through that. Or maybe they just came out of it or they're wondering if they will ever come out of it. I believe the Lord sent you here. And also you, Helena, because it's both of you that went through this, and we say it over and over, but a rocky point. It might have multiple jagged edges to it. Yeah, the jagged edges of life, that's what we talk about here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Hey, that's what life is all about. I mean, I'm talking about when Christ takes you through it. That's the sweet stuff, when you can come through it. They did. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He says it got worse before it got better. I mean, it was already getting worse, but then it got worse. Before it got better. I'm speaking of John Vigil. He's speaking, and you know what? He's being liberated even as he speaks. He experienced what it means to, the difference between lying and the truth and the freedom that comes with opening up, maybe even in getting caught. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. John and Helena Vigil are here in studio talking story about a rough point, a rocky point. I'm talking about surviving the rough waters of life today, and to find out more about this show, maybe you're tuning in right now, and what I mentioned just kind of sort of grabbed you. You can find out more about this show and get this podcast in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, John, lying. And you take us back, share a little bit about what was happening and how it did get worse.
Well, like I said before, so we got those orders, and I was in Virginia, and I was trying to get base housing and everything like that. And like I said before, it's kind of hard. You know, go through all the paperwork. You know, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. But when I hit one brick wall, I was done. I didn't want to go on anymore. In my selfishness, I flew out Helena and my daughter, and Helena was pregnant at the time with our twin boys out to Virginia, and I didn't have anything. I didn't have household goods out there. I didn't have a house. We were staying at a hotel. But I felt I was doing something right. I felt like, if I had my family around me, maybe I'll start straightening out. Maybe I'll act better, and then everything will, fall into place. But that wasn't the case, because as soon as Helena and my daughter came out, another curveball got thrown at me, and, I got orders to go to Mississippi, Pascagoula, Mississippi. That's where the ship was being built. And then I left Norfolk, Virginia. I left my 2-year-old daughter and my pregnant wife in a strange, unknown place. They were unsafe. They weren't secure. And I was down in Mississippi. I didn't know what I was doing. And I felt like, once again, you know, hey, I just, you know, I failed my wife. I failed at everything. I'm just one huge failure. Well, how can I make this better? How can I make myself feel better? Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell some more lies. I'm going to go ahead and lie to my wife. Oh, yeah, I got, you know, we got all our household goods coming out. Yeah, we got a house in Mississippi. No problem. Yeah, everything's going to work out just fine. And it wasn't true. I didn't have anything out there. I was staying in a one-room barracks room that was at the old naval base out there in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And the lying now that I was doing to my wife, it was filtering into my professional life. And I started lying to everybody at work. Yeah, yeah, my wife, she's on her way over. You know, I got everything arranged. Everything's good. Yeah, no problem. You know, I got that done and everything, and it wasn't true. You know, so I was lying about lying. You know, it just turned into, you know, a vicious circle. It's weird because I would lie about my relationship with my wife and how I was taking care of things, but I wouldn't lie about the job. And in my own twisted way, I thought, like, hey, that's got to show for something. You know, I did what I needed to do for the Navy. I didn't lie about that, but I'm lying about my wife. I'm lying about how I'm taking care of my family and everything. So in my sick, twisted mind, that's what I thought was good. So everything came to a boiling point at one point. Helena was coming out to Mississippi. I did have a house. I didn't have anything in the house, though. All our stuff was still in San Diego. And I knew this. I knew, like, I just knew, like, you know, I kept saying to myself, John, you're setting yourself up. You know, you're going to get in trouble here. You're going to get in trouble. And I was just, you know, forget about it. To hell with it. Let him come. Let's go. Let's do it. And they came out. And then Helena found out. They're like, hey, where's our stuff? I don't have our stuff. Where's the house? That's over here, but I can't take you there. I don't have a car. So Helena did what she had to do. She called my command. And my command got involved. And the two men that I'm grateful for, Chief Petty Officer Griffin and Chief Warrant Officer Barr, you know, they let me have it. Oh, man, they tore me up. I thought, like, okay, this is it. I thought, I'm out of the Navy. They're going to boot me out because I can't take care of my family. And I was kind of like at peace with that for certain reasons. One is I didn't have anybody else to tell me what to do anymore. And I could be like, oh, now I can just concentrate on everything with the family. You know, they let me have it. But at the same time, and I don't know if they're Christian men or anything like that, but for some reason, they still had hope and faith in me. So I got in trouble. You know, everything was let out. And I felt so free. You know, some people would be like, man, I just got caught in this huge, humongous lie. This web of lies and everything like that. And some people would be like, you know, torn down or whatever. Me, I finally felt liberated. I finally felt that something good finally came out of this whole terrible scenario.
How did you go through this, Helena?
Crying. Lots of tears. You know, I was pregnant with twins. My hormones were ridiculously crazy. So when we got to Virginia, I think I cried every day I was there. Every single day I was there. And then he got sent to Mississippi. And then I just decided, you know what? I'm going back home. I'm going home where it's safe, where I can be safe, where I know people. So I went home. Plus, on top of that, I had doctor's appointments and I was losing weight. And when you're pregnant with twins, you shouldn't be losing 6 pounds in a month. So I came home to Hawaii and I cried and I said, okay, God, what do I do now? And he didn't give me any answers. You know, I just did this experiencing God study, and there's a point where God doesn't speak to you. There's a quiet point. And that's basically where it was. I was at home, pregnant, with my two-year-old. My husband's in Mississippi doing I don't know what. Spending all our money in our bank. He cleared out our bank accounts. Like $6,000 later of car rentals and food and I don't know what. I couldn't even buy my daughter diapers. So I'm thankful that God sent us back to Hawaii because my parents could help us out. So it was really, really hard. But I just kept going to church and kept praying. And my family, you know, we're all Christians. So we just kept praying. And through the grace of God, I mean, I got through it. It wasn't easy. It was hard because when he sent us to Mississippi, I came off the plane to a text. I lied. I have none of her stuff. So here I am, pregnant, 24, 25 weeks with twins, two-year-old daughter, and I made my sister come with me just in case. And I thank God for that because I couldn't even function. I didn't even know what to do. We're in Gulfport, Mississippi, at the airport with nothing. No place to stay, no car, nothing. So my sister, Bernie, basically helped us find a hotel and a rental car and got us together. And, you know, God took care of us everywhere we went. Somehow, he just took care of us. And, you know, for every tear that was shed, God brought something back into me to keep going. Because I had to, you know, like, I'm pregnant with this guy's kids. I have 3 kids by myself. Who's going to want me? So God, I had to stay faithful. I wanted to give up. God told me not to give up. There was even a point somewhere before I came to Mississippi where he kept lying and lying and lying. And I keep catching him in these lies where I even called the divorce lawyers just in case. I even looked up, you know, separation and how do I get custody and all this stuff. And so I had to, my concern was me and the kids and taking care of us. And even though, you know, there were days where I didn't love him. I didn't. God told me to love him. So I was like, fine. I call him on the phone. Hi, did you have a good day? You know, and I had to tell him I love you, even though I didn't want to. God said, tell him you love him. I love you. You know, and you do it because God's telling you to do it. Not because you want to do it, because you have to obey God. And that's what I did through this all. I had to obey God. That's the only thing. God gave me hope that there was going to be a light at the end of this. And something good had to happen because who goes through all of this without something God has at the end of it? You know that God has, it may not be what you want, but it what's what God wants for you or for your family. And that's what I kept telling myself at the end of this. Something's good going to happen and God's going to take care of us and God's going to change something.
You had hope.
Hope.
You had hope. There was still some glimmer. However much it was fading, there was a glimmer of hope. And obviously this hope in the Lord was such that He used that to bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also hope for you, John. Hope in the freedom of the truth. Oh, somehow coming to that place in life where you're able to say, maybe even the text, I lied. she got, however bad it was, you were leveling off. By the way, was that before or after these men laid in on you?
excuse me. That was after the text. So I text her and I told her, hey, I lied, you know. And then she called the command and then, you know, as the old saying says, you know, crap rolls downhill. And that's what happened. And then they laid into me. But like I said, those two men, I would say that was the point I kind of felt like I might get out of this. Not out of getting out of trouble from what I did, but, you know, get out of this tainted water I was in.
You talk about tainted water. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you got tainted water and then you got pure water. Today, I think this program is about pure water, because you're talking about truth. Yes, there were a lot of lies, but to be able to say that I was lying, that's telling the truth. And there you can have a beginning. A marriage is being brought together by the grace of God. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So it came to a point where she said she didn't love her husband. All the feelings were gone, but God was telling her to still love him. And she had to decide to keep doing it. However much of a drudgery it was, she kept doing it. I think that's what you might call obedience. I'm speaking about Helena Vigil. She's sitting here with her husband. They are in love. They have three children, Helena and John Vigil, in studio today. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. You can find out more, get this program. And I would say share it with others, because the transparency that's being given here will certainly bring liberation to others in the name of Christ. You can find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this podcast for free. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. How did things begin to turn for you and in your marriage?
Well, after God has command involved with everything, he looked online and there happened to be orders out here to Hawaii. So we just prayed on that. Bring him out here. Even though I didn't want him to be here, bring him out here. And through lots of prayer and phone calls with his command, he got the orders. I mean, it took a while, but, you know, we had to claim that we were on a financial hardship because we had that house out there, and then I was here, we couldn't afford that. So they got us a financial hardship, and God miraculously gave us orders out here. And that, I would say, pretty much turned things around, because now I was like, okay, now I know where we're going to be. I don't have to go to Gulfport, Mississippi by myself with these three kids and have no family around. So we officially got our orders to Hawaii on November 16th, and our boys were born on November 17th. So talk about obedience to God and waiting and saying, God, okay, you said we got these orders? Okay. We had to wait like a week for them, and we didn't officially get our orders, because you don't believe anything the military tells you until it's in paper and signed and whatever. And like I said, we got it on November 16th, and I was actually supposed to go to the hospital that day and get induced to have my boys. But there was no room for us at the hospital, so we just started getting going with finding a house, and then we got a call that night, and there was room for me, and I had my boys at 3:55 a.m. on November 17th. So it was like God did it in his timing and down to the last minute, but we got our orders. And once he came back to Hawaii, just, well, we had twins, so there's really no time to fight. But we moved into a brand new house with, you know, 6-week-old twins and a two-and-a-half-year-old then. And so it was just, 2012 was a year of rebuilding for us, like really rebuilding.
Rebuilding. What about rebuilding your character, your integrity? How did that happen, John?
It was a real hard process. I came back to Hawaii, and then I was, you know, I was happy that I was back out here. I was happy that, you know, I got the house. You know, we got all our stuff. I got new orders. I was at a new command. I was getting a fresh start, but I didn't have the support. And when I say support, you know, Helena was there and she was supporting me as much as possible. But this was a road that I needed to travel by myself, and I needed to find good Christian men, you know, men with integrity, men who made mistakes, to, you know, walk me down that path. And it took me a while, and it's an ongoing process. You know, I'm at a better place now than I was then. I rededicated myself to God and to Jesus, and that's great. But I got to keep going. I got to keep doing that too. You know, every day when you wake up, I got to keep rededicating myself to that idea that, you know, God's on my side. He's going to help me out. He's my battle buddy. He's going to help me out through anything. And I think that was the main reason why I did what I did, is because I kind of figured at first I thought I could do it by myself. And two, when I realized I couldn't do it by myself, I didn't feel I was worthy enough to be his battle buddy anymore. But he had to take me down to the, you know, to the pits. You know, I had to hit rock bottom. I had to. And it was a hard lesson to learn, but it was probably the best lesson I ever learned in my life. And now, knowing that I learned that lesson, I'm in a better place for it, and I'm around good Christian men now, and you know, and we talk about, you know, the hardships of being a husband and being a father and being a military man at the same time. So, and that's what I need to do. I need to be around good men.
Talk about good men. Talk about accountability. Talk about what that means and what it has meant for you, even as you've been you're here, and then you've also been deployed.
Yeah. Like Helena said, you know, 2012 was a rebuilding year, and it certainly was. I came to a new command and everything like that, and as soon as I got to that command, it was nonstop. It was go, 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 go. We were doing everything. And during RIMPAC of 2012, we got word that we were deploying 2 months early, and it was going to be a 10th-month one. So we all thought we were on this great, you know, on this great ride now, everything's smooth, everything's going to be fine. But, you know, God threw us another challenge. And I call it a challenge because it's not impossible to tackle. So he threw us another challenge with this 10-month deployment. And right when that happened, my best friend in the whole wide world came on board the ship. And he was a Christian man too, and he was my accountability partner. Because when you go overseas, you have a lot of temptations. you know, you feel like, you know, well, hey, I'm not under the umbrella of my house anymore. I'm not around my wife. I can do whatever I want and everything like that. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that. I was scared of that. I was afraid that might happen. But God put this man in my life. I'll go ahead and just say his name, Jeff Henson. He came into my life, and he's a married man. He has kids too, and you know, he worked through me on this. And this 10-month deployment wasn't easy, but he had doubts. I had doubts. We talked about the doubts, and then we went out in town and tried to find a TV to watch football. That was it, you know. And if he felt I was not doing something right, he would call me out on it. And if I felt I wasn't doing something, he wasn't doing something right, I call him out on it. So I'm really grateful that, you know, God put that man in my life, and he's still on board with me right now. And we still are accountable. We're still accountability partners. And I'm just really grateful that God put him in my life, because if he didn't, I mean, who knows what would happen if he didn't.
We can, in life, can very easily make foolhardy decisions. And the reason I say that is because we all have. Your sharing that has liberated not only yourself by the grace of God, but someone who listens today feels like, wow, I'm not alone, and God can work. John Vizzo's life, he can work in my life. A woman may feel like giving up, maybe is giving up, but you shared a glimmer of the hope of Christ, because even beyond feelings, Helena, you obeyed God and you saw God work, and you are a testament. I behold a testament of the Lord as you have shared your story, and you are on the right path, a better path, path of healing, a path of hope. And now you're bringing the love and hope of Christ to others. So, John, Helena, thank you. Thank you for being with us, being on our show, and sharing your heart with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you very much. And I hope that as you have listened to them, that you were inspired by the remarkable story of restoration of John and Helena Vigil. You know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there. Check that out. And to help us with your financial support, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests, John and Helena Vigil. Until next time, along with my technical producers, Chaz Ontai, Leah Rodriguez, my guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.